Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show, presented by human behavior expert Dr. John DeMartini. This is the perfect show if you're interested in personal development, leadership, and achievement. Each episode shares knowledge, principles, and practical tools that you can use to truly master your life. Dr. DeMartini is a global educator. He's an internationally published author, and he's also a polymath with 5 decades of extensive research across multiple disciplines. And that puts him in the perfect position to be able to help you to empower all areas of your life. In this episode, Dr. DeMartini tackles the subject of addiction and its likely cause and what you can do to live a life of priority and fulfillment so that you're less likely to experience addictions and what Dr. DeMartini refers to as subdictions. Before we get started, please note that all the links or downloads that are mentioned during the presentation are available for you to access in the podcast description, which is underneath this episode. And if it's your first time listening to the show, make sure that you take the time now to go and click follow so that you can be notified of the next episode. So get your pen and paper ready or set up your digital note taker and let's get started with Dr. DeMartini's latest presentation, Understanding the Subdictions That Lead to Addictions. Enjoy.
You're probably familiar with the term, obviously, addiction, but you may not be familiar with the term, which I'm going to call subdiction. It's a term I coined for the counterbalancing avoidance responses that are underlying many of the seeking responses called addiction. In our subcortical area of our brain, in what is called the amygdala, which is a portion of the limbic brain, which is a sort of an area that's called for dealing with emotions, it is sometimes called the area for systems one thinking, which is a fast survival mentality processing area compared to systems two thinking, which is more of a thought provoking. When we, in systems one, we're emotionally reacting before we think, and in systems two, we're thinking before we react. But in this subcortical area, the amygdala, it is sometimes called the desire center. And the desire center is seeking that which supports survival, and the other one is avoiding something that challenges survival. That's the basic premise. Prey versus predator, food versus waste, tonic versus toxic. This desire center is also where we get a lot of dopamine. It's a primary dopamine driver. And many times you've probably heard of the relationship between dopamine and addictive behaviors. Now, there are other transmitters involved in addiction for certain, but there's definitely a dopamine relationship. And anything that we perceive through our value system, you know, I've mentioned this before in many of the other presentations, that every human being has a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most important to least important in their life. And anything that is highest on the value you're pursuing, and things that are low on your values, you need motivation to do. One is spontaneously, intrinsically inspiring, and the other one has to be motivated from without. But anything that is perceived in our experience that supports the highest values, we tend to see as food and prey, and we seek. And anything that challenges it, we tend to see as predator and something that eat us. So we have an addiction towards that. We have a seeking towards that. And we have a subdiction away from that, which challenges us. And the more extreme we infatuate with something that we seek, its opposite is now more resented, and we now avoid. In other words, if you infatuate with something intelligent, you're probably going to be a more avoidance to people who are ignorant if you perceive it that way, depending on how you define ignorant and intelligent. If you see something attractive physically, you may have somebody that you repel that's the opposite of that. So whatever you're seeking, its opposite you typically repel. So that is the addition and subtraction from our life, if you will. We're trying to add this to our life and consume it, bring it in. And that's the same as like if you go shopping and you buy something and you consume it, you've got the thing that goes with it that you don't want. It's called the bills that you'd like to avoid. And that's the subdiction, the debt that goes with the purchase. But what I found, and I've had the opportunity to work with people that have been labeled addictive personalities or have addictions. It could be alcohol or drugs or sex, or it could be just about anything you could be addicted. I've seen people addicted to people even. And sometimes people have labeled that dependencies, because whenever something supports your values, let's take a child, for instance, and you You give the child whatever it wants, support the child. You can, if it goes to extreme, make them dependent and make them, in a sense, juvenile, because they don't have any accountabilities, no challenges, no responsibilities, so they just become independent. And many parents, wealthy parents particularly, have had this result because they've just given them everything and there's no accountabilities, no drive. But if you have somebody that challenges you, it tends to make you precociously independent. And in fact, things that support you, if you infatuate with somebody, you can put them on a pedestal, you'll minimize yourself and inject their values and try to live in their values and depend on them and fear their loss because you're so infatuated with them. We've all been infatuated with somebody and feared their loss and don't want to be without them. And we have sort of a juvenile dependency on them and almost addiction to them because we don't want to lose them. But we also have people that we resent, we look down on, and we're too proud to admit what we see in them inside us, and we want to avoid them. And if they come around us, we want to be independent and stand on our own without relying on them, and we become precociously independent. So that which supports the hierarchy of values, we tend to become dependent on, and that which challenges it, we tend to become independent on. And this is the addiction, subdiction, seeking and avoidance, impulse and instinct, attraction and repulsion aspect of the amygdala. In the more advanced area of the brain, in the systems two thinking, which is more the executive center, not the desire center, the prefrontal cortex, not the amygdala, that is more objective, more neutral, more balanced, more resilient, more adaptable. It's thrival, not survival. So you're there, you don't have the polarities quite as strong. In fact, when you go into the amygdala and you're in a survival mode, you wake up sort of our primitive animal behavior of survival out in the wild, where there's prey and predator that keeps the food chain working. And anytime you see something that's prey, you have to accelerate the adrenaline in order to run and capture it. And you have to, if you see predator, you have to accelerate the adrenaline to avoid it. So anytime we're in survival, we tend to accelerate or create what is called a subjective bias. And we get a false attribution bias that that's prey and a false attribution bias that that's predator. And we accelerate and really accentuate the adrenaline. And we now become dependent on something and also avoidant of something on an extreme level. This extreme dependency and independency, we then label sometimes as addiction. If all of a sudden you take these to extreme and you see somebody that drinks more than you, and when they do have behaviors that challenge you, you typically project a label on them and say, well, they're addicted to that. They're dependent on that, and they have a problem. But if you're out there drinking with them and drinking the same amount as them and having a great time with them, you don't call them an addict, you just call them a friend. So the labels are a bit murky on where the boundary of addiction is sometimes. There is formalized definitions, but even those are a little bit murky at times, because somebody who's hanging out and does the drinking or the sex or the drugs as much as them and doesn't be offended by them, they just call them a friend, they call them a colleague. So they don't ever label that. But there is dependencies and independencies that we do face. Now, anytime we perceive more support than challenge, more positives and negatives, more similarities and differences, more advantages and disadvantages, we can wake up that addictive side, that seeking side. And anytime we perceive more drawbacks and benefits, more negatives than positives, more loss and gain, more differences and similarities, more disadvantages and advantages, we can create a subaddiction. Now, it's been my observation working with hundreds of people, in fact, more than that, with addictive personalities, as they call it, I found out that they have, to the degree that they're seeking something and they've got to have it and they're dependent on it and acting almost that juvenile dependency I was talking about, they have the opposite also there. So in other words, I'll give you an example. I worked with a gentleman who was in Denver, Colorado, and he had an alcohol addiction. That's what his been diagnosed with. That's what he's been labeled. That's what he actually believed he was. And what was interesting is we traced it back where he first started doing alcohol excesses, if you will. And we found out that he, as he grew up, his father drank So sometimes you could say, well, that's because his father drank, I drank. Not really, because we changed that. But what happened is we had a father that was aggressive and used to beat the son if he didn't do what the former wife, the wife left the husband kept the child, which is not the norm, and forced the child to do everything that the wife did, clean the house, cook for him, go grocery shopping, everything else. And the kid didn't want this and wanted to rebel, but he would get beaten if he was to not to do what his father said. In the process of doing this, he had this avoidance reaction, things he hated about his father, he wanted to avoid it. And the moment he got old enough and strong enough and independent enough to stand up for himself, he decided to confront his father. They'd have conflicts with him. His father used to beat him, he'd come back with it. And one day he stole his father's truck, and I guess he found the keys and got it and stole it, and went out drinking with his buddy, got in a truck crash and with another car. His buddy was killed. He was a drunk driver, underage. He was wiped out the truck, was in the hospital. His father found out where he was at the hospital. They contacted him because he was the guardian, and all of a sudden went there and beat him in the hospital for messing up his truck and said, don't come home, you're out of here. So in his mind, he had associations that challenged his survival. That challenge made him somewhat precociously independent from his father, the thing he was avoiding, but at the same time, escaping with the alcohol and whatever he swore he would never do, like his father, I never want to be like my father. He ended up coming upon him. He became what is like his father. You could easily say, well, that's because of the father and it's in the genes and stuff like that. That's what some people like to do. But I'm going to challenge that in a minute here. But what happened is as he was avoiding this and had a subaddiction, he also had an addiction to get its opposite, his autonomy, his freedom, and the idea that his father can't control his alcohol, I can control it kind of thing. So he ended up becoming, quote, the alcoholic. That was the label. So I worked with him. And what I did is I took the situation with the DeMartini method, which is a method I do that I've developed on dissolving emotional baggage, you might say, perceptions. When you're unconscious, he was unconscious of his father's benefit side. He just saw the drawback side here. He saw the benefit side of the alcohol and didn't see the drawbacks there. And he had a skewed subjective bias on both ends. And I went there and looked at the upsides of what his father had done, which he's never done before. Nobody ever told him to look for, well, how did it serve you? What were the upsides? What were the advantages? And we sat down and balanced it out. We also found out who was playing the opposite roles to the father at the time. And he had a next door neighbor. It was a woman that was overprotecting him and trying to do everything that his mother was doing to help him on the side when his father wasn't around. And we went and balanced out this situation until 2 a.m. On this weekend program, until he was in tears of gratitude for his father. Now, it's hard to comprehend maybe if you've never been to the breakthrough experience, but in the breakthrough experience, I can show you how to take whatever's happened in your life and turn it into on the way, not in the way, and be grateful for it instead of baggage. We dissolved the subjection. We dissolved the thing he was escaping. We dissolved the guilt associated with the driving and losing of his friend. We dissolved the illusion that there was a loss in his friend. It took hours. But all of these are processes that I do in the DeMartini method allow you to see unconscious information, to become neutral on it, so it's not running or not an avoidance response. And it's reproducible and duplicatable, so it's something that we can do over and over again, and we do it every weekend doing this program. But what happened is the moment the subdiction was gone and his anger was gone and his resentment was gone and his grief of his friend death's gone and his shame was gone, because all of those are basically lopsided perceptions. Shame is an assumption that you, with your behavior, have caused more pain and pleasure, more loss and gain, more negative than positive. And resentment is an assumption that somebody else has caused you more pain and pleasure, et cetera. And these are basically perceptions that you can transform by asking new questions and seeing things that you didn't see before and become fully conscious instead of only conscious of half of it. Once we neutralize the subdiction, and there could be more. I sometimes have 3 to 5 subdictions I want to clear before we try to address the addiction. Once that subdiction was gone and his reason for escaping and dissociating from that experience, his desire for alcohol just poof, I've seen it. We dissolve subdictions. Sometimes the addictions just poof away. And it was like surprising to him because he had been going to AA and he was labeled an alcoholic and he was told that he was not empowered and his superpower was going to need to control his life and he had to go and depend on the people and stuff. All that just melted away. I saw him 1 year later when I came back to do the breakthrough experience with him in Denver. I didn't know he was going to come back, but he showed back up again. And he told me the whole story. He said, the second I dissolved the issue with my dad, my story about my life just disappeared. And I realized that I actually had love for my dad. And I saw the whole picture and how he was trying to survive and his lessons. And I was grateful for this whole thing. I realized that it allowed me to become an entrepreneur and drive myself and be independent, not work for somebody. And there's nothing I would change about it. But at the same time, my need to escape that and my need for the opposite calm down simultaneously.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a 2-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
So when I work with addiction, the impulse towards, I also want to know what the subdiction is. Now, I'm going to make a comment here about addiction, that not the 12-step program, okay? Now, that's served people, and it has a result for people, but there's also some weaknesses to it. I think it's a small percentage of them that really stay with it. A lot of them go back to drinking and drugs and things. But one thing I found out, that every decision an individual's doing is what they believe, consciously or unconsciously, that'll give them the most advantage over disadvantage at any moment. So if a person is drinking or taking drugs or sex addiction or whatever it may be, whatever the label's been put on it, they're unconsciously or consciously perceiving there's still more advantage and disadvantage, even though it may be destroying their liver, maybe affecting their health, maybe making where they're not working and surviving. In their mind, there's still more advantage and disadvantage. And it's hard to comprehend when you first work with somebody, but I've been doing this for decades now. And one thing I'm certain about is that if you go and ask them, the alcoholic, for instance, what's the benefit you're getting out of drinking? They'll many times, because of the social program, say, well, no, it's killing me. Look at me. I can't control it, if they're wanting help. And they'll say, no, I don't know any benefits. That's why I'm trying to stop it. I know, but what's the benefit you're getting out of it? I had a lady that was, I was involved in a reality TV show, and they asked me to take care of 12 people in 24 hours, 2 hours per person to transform their life and a before and after kind of thing. It was a very intense 24-hour period. And there was a lady that had an addiction to eating, giant woman that was like a feeder that was overeating. And she came into the filming area, and she came in with two boxes of food and said, I brought everybody food so you would be able to have food here. And then it went on to eat the entire two boxes. She ate more in that day than I eat in a week. And of course, I'm an average sized guy. But when I went into her and I asked her, when I finally got to work with her, I said, so what's the benefit you're getting out of eating? And she said, there is no benefit. That's why I'm here. I need to stop. I can't control myself. I said, I know, but what's the benefit you're getting out of it? Because you wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't some sort of advantage in there in your brain. The brain is registering that. Whether you're conscious of it or not is not the issue, but let's bring it conscious. So what are the benefits you're getting out of it? And she hemmed and hawed and said, there's no benefits out of it. There's all drawbacks. And I said, hold yourself accountable. What's the benefit you're getting out of it? And finally, she said something. She said, everybody in my family is big. And if I am not big, I don't fit into my family. And she got a little watery-eyed on that. And I went, oh, that's interesting. What's another benefit you're getting out of it? And that took a few more hems and haws. And finally, she said, I have a sister that's bigger than me. She's larger than me. And every time when I was a kid, she'd push me around and, you know, dominate me and stuff. And so I guess I made a pact with myself that I would never be smaller than her when she could push me around. So I make sure that I'm bigger than her. I said, great. Now, what's another benefit you're getting out of it? And all of a sudden, you know, smaller ones came in and then a big one came. I said, what's the next benefit? She says, She got teary-eyed and she said, I went on a really fasting diet one time to try to lose weight and I lost 45 pounds. And when I did, I got a bit of a figure. And all of a sudden a guy hit on me. A guy was attracted to me. I never had a guy attracted to me. Nobody ever flirted with me. I didn't know what love and affection was. And I felt vulnerable and I ended up making love with this man the first day. And I said, okay. And so what's the benefit of that? I said, well, there is no benefit of that. I said, wait a minute now. You lost weight, you attracted a guy, and now you're basically saying that he basically made love with you. Now, what happened? Tell me more. She said, well, the next morning he was gone and I never saw him again. And then 6 to 7 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. Now I was Catholic and I was kind of told that, you know, you're not to have a baby out of wedlock. You're not to have an abortion. You're not to have this, you're not to have that. And the shame associated with it. And I didn't want to have this child with this man that I've never seen. I didn't want to have an unwed child. I didn't want to have this, but I didn't want to have an abortion, but I chose eventually an abortion. And I felt guilty about it. And you could see it like that. And then she said, the benefit of keeping weight on is I prevented myself from never having to go through that again. And she bawled. I said, so what you're doing is your brain has associated keeping weight on to protect yourself, because the last time you lost weight, that extremely traumatic situation you're dissociating from occurred. And if you lost weight, you would have the idea of being pushed around by your family member, and then you're also not part of your family. And then she said, well, it's interesting. I'm also in the television industry. And from my breast up, I look pretty good. I got thick hair, nice, smooth skin. But if I lose weight, it sags and I don't look as well. So every time I start to lose weight on any form like that, I don't look as well on TV. So I make sure my smooth, because everybody comments about how smooth my skin is and how pretty my skin is. So we started finding out the benefits that were unconscious motives that were sitting inside her for why she was keeping weight on. And we ended up with 75 of these things and we kept going. And I told her to come back tomorrow and I'll just privately do it after I'm finished with this filming. And she went on and she came back the next morning. She says, I really don't have an intention to lose weight the way it's structured right now in my mind. No, you don't. I said, that's why you're doing it. It's not some weakness. It's an unconscious motive that's now conscious. Now, once I found out the motives for it, the benefits, I've said, well, how do we get those same benefits without having to eat? What are the opposite other ways of getting those same benefits? And we came up with 4 or 5 viable alternative ways of doing that. And then we found out the common viable alternative ways for all those benefits, 75 to 100 benefits. And then what we did is we looked at each of those and which one showed up most commonly. And then we linked that to what was her highest values by doing the value determination process, which is on my website, which I encourage you to go check out. And what I did is I went in there and linked the new viable alternatives to her highest values by asking, how is doing that going to help you fulfill what's most meaningful to your life? And once we stacked those up and kind of neuroplastic remodeled that area of the brain, we then took the original eating and look at, now how's the drawback of eating doing that? What's the drawbacks of the eating path versus these new alternative viable ways? Because if you try to go and tell them how bad this action is and they don't have a viable alternative, it creates an anxiety, which forces them back in the amygdala, which then puts it into more eating as a compensation. Once we did that, I went to and linked it to the values, the delinked the original behavior, which is eating, and linked the new behaviors there. So they're now having in the brain more advantage and disadvantage, because every decision you make is based on what you do that gives you the most advantage or disadvantage. So I basically linked the new way, delinked the old way, went to the subdictions and found out what the subdictions were, where all the pains were, the rejection, the abortion, and everything else. And we started to clear the subdictions. As we did, as we clear those, which took quite a few hours, more than what was on the reality TV show, all of a sudden her avoidance mechanism, her phobia mechanism of having to deal with this and driving this shifted. And then we go through and I do the DeMartini method, and we go through and we dissolve all the shame that we have inside ourselves, the resentments we accumulate. Instead of making amends and going, oh, I forgive myself, you know, or whatever, I just go in and find out the hidden order in it. So there's nothing there to forgive. And we find the upsides, because everything has two sides. And if we're seeing the downsides without the upsides, we're not seeing the whole picture. But we went and cleared this behavior, these judgments she stored and these anxieties and fears that she had, which is just asking questions and seeing how there's really two sides to it, balancing it. And that calms down the addictive behavior, because the subdiction is dissolved as well as the addiction. And then there's 13 little steps that I do in there. And the most important aspect of the addiction process I find is that if you don't get people to live by the highest priorities, the thing that's most meaningful to them, and wake up and bring the blood and glucose into the forebrain, systems two thinking, where they are thinking before they're reacting, they're almost certain to go down into the amygdala, where they're more polarized and vulnerable to addictions and subdictions. So it's very important to fill your day with the very highest priority actions that are deeply meaningful. You'll look very carefully when you have something very important, very inspiring, something very meaningful to do. You're less likely to overeat or undereat. You're less likely to overdrink and underdrink. You're basically more moderate in your behavior, because the forebrain and the executive center calms down the amygdala and its extreme subjective biases, and you're being more balanced and more governing in your life. The executive center is the governance center. It's the executive function. It governs the amygdala. The amygdala runs wild like a wild animal. The executive center is the human that governs it. So if you fill your day with high priority actions that inspire you, that are deeply meaningful, that are fulfilling, that make a difference in other people's lives, that you get compensated for, so you do something that you love doing, you have less probability of being in the addictive center, the amygdala, and you're more likely to see things objective and balanced instead of judging and polarized. So another component of what I do for taking people through dissolving subdictions and addictions is getting them onto priority and giving them some purpose to live, because people that have meaning in life and are purposeful in life, they tend to not have as many of those polarities and those addictive behaviors. People that have been extremely wounded in their perceptions or ecstatically driven by some drug or some high they've had are more likely to be polarized in their perspective and extremely subjective bias in their idea of a subdiction and addiction, and more vulnerable to these behaviors. And that's the addictive personality type. But you can transform that. The areas of the brain is neuroplastic, and these areas can be remodeled by using systems two thinking, by prioritizing your life and filling it with high priority things. And you can use the DeMartini method, which I teach in the Breakthrough Experience program, which I hope to God you get the opportunity to learn, because it's a tool with 1,000 uses that can help you dissolve a lot of the baggage that may be running behaviors that you feel is you can't control. And there is a way of dissolving those impulses and instinct seeking and avoidant responses and calm them down and make them more moderate and make them where you have governance. And that's what I wanted to share today. The relationship between subdiction and addiction, which is an avoidance response and a seeking response, and the greater one, the greater the other. Although most people don't talk about this one, this is just as crucial as this one. The subdiction is just as disempowering as the addiction behavior. So I want you to be aware of that. So if you want more knowledge about that, please come to the Breakthrough Experience, because I know that I can teach you the method and I can show you how to be purposeful on your highest values, which is decreasing the probability of those behaviors, because they can run your life. I just want to announce something here. I have a masterclass, a free masterclass that on demand. It's increasing your deserve level and finally get what you want. And the purpose of this particular class from this topic of addiction and subaddiction is that if you go and do what's really highest on your priorities and live by the executive function and do things that are more powerful and awaken that, which is what the DeMartini method's for out of the Breakthrough Experience, you'll end up increasing the probability of achieving what you want in life and having fulfillment in life. But if you don't fill your life with things that are meaningful, it's going to fill up with things that aren't, which is food, which is drugs, anything that stimulates dopamine. A lot of the reasons why we end up with these addictive behaviors is because we're unfulfilled in what's valuable to us. So if you fill your day with high priority actions that are meaningful, you're less likely to fill it with things like consumerism, addiction with drugs, alcohol, sex, or whatever it may be. So my advice is to take advantage of this free masterclass, increase your self-worth, increase your deserve level by what I'm going to be sharing in this presentation, and then go come to the breakthrough experience and learn how to use the Demartini method and the value applications to prioritize your life and dissolve the baggage so you don't have this subdiction, addiction polarity running your life. Whether it's mild or extreme, whatever it is, it can be neutralized and you can bring it under governance. You don't have to be a victim of history. You can be a master of your destiny. So until next week, I just want to let you know, thank you for joining me today. And if you know people that could benefit from my little presentation, please let them know about it. It's usually once a week. If you look on our website, it tells when we're going to have it. It varies sometimes on what day it is, but join me for each of these. It's a stimulus for the week. It gets you thinking, and it also will give you some ideas and tools to be able to transform and empower your life.
Well, that was just a small sample of what Dr. Demartini has to share. And if you'd love to continue learning from Dr. Demartini, then follow the Demartini Show now so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. Demartini's work, then log on to the website drdemartini.com. You'll find loads of valuable information on the blog and free training that you'll be able to access under the Learn tab, which is on the homepage of the website. If you'd love to speak to a member of the Demartini team, then use the online chat function on the website. We'd love to get to know you and to understand what you'd love to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. Just a reminder, if you're ready to take action and transform your life today, if you're ready to do the work, then join Dr. John Demartini at his weekend seminar, The Breakthrough Experience. To find out more about the program, go to demartini.fm/seminar. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused on your goals and dreams and stay inspired.